morning is with this question. So if you notice at the top, you sometimes you kind of show up in the auditorium, you have no idea what it is you're going to study. You may be visiting with us this morning, and you're just here for the day, and no idea what we're doing. We're starting a new class. Well, I think it's always kind of an exciting moment whenever we're starting something new. I hope you feel that way. It can be a fresh start. It can be a chance to put a little more energy into a class. A little bit of curiosity sometimes, too. What's this class going to be about as we go through it? This is the third time that we've taught this class, and it reminded me of several things. We needed a class in this segment different than what we had originally scheduled, and I had a couple ideas in mind. And finally, I thought, you know, I really need to do this class because I need the class. And it's hard to ever reach a point where you feel like your prayer life and the things that you do in terms of communicating with God are really where you'd like them to be. So I thought, okay, well, this will be good to do this. But I wonder, it seemed like it wasn't that long ago that we had this class in the auditorium. And Ben and I taught this class together. It's not our material. David Maxson prepared this material. And so those of you who've been here for a while know David used to work with us. He's now in Tuscaloosa. Ben's no longer with us either. He's up in Brooklyn. So some of this reminded me of some of those who've been here before, helped us out. David had prepared the material with the exception of one lesson. Lesson 9, I prepared. So I think David and I are co-authors of the material, if you will. I really he gets the credit. His idea, his approach to the class, and 12 of the lessons, lesson sheets are really done by David. But the most striking thing was to realize that it's been 8 years since Ben and I taught this class together in the auditorium. We taught it one other time in a side study. So I think for a number of us, or a number of you, have kind of come during that time period, or maybe haven't had a chance to have the class before, or maybe like a few others of you that I know for a fact have been in this class, like myself, and need a little refresher on it. It's good to be together starting this class out. Notice the title, A Source of Spiritual Growth. We'll talk a lot about prayer in different ways. We have some very specific goals in mind that relate to our own personal spiritual growth. And you'll see that when we list the goals of the class in just a little bit. Okay, we're a few minutes into it. I know some other folks will kind of arrive as time goes on. But let's pause for a moment and try to pray to our Lord before we begin this class. Pray with me, please. Our holy and wonderful Heavenly Father, we're always struck, Father, by the opportunity to stand before you and speak to you and know that you hear us and you care for us and you love us. We're reminded of all those things you've done for us in the past and the demonstration of your mercy and grace, the gift of your Son, your willingness to forgive us, to have us as a part of your family. We pray those things will be important to us as we enter into this class and consider better, Father, how to pray to you, how to speak to you. It would cause us to be more aware of your power and might, the things that can be accomplished through these prayers because you're willing to both listen and to respond to us. May we be humbled by that, Father, but may we give our hearts and minds to this study in a way in which it helps us to become more like the people you want us to be, the new people changed from within, and also in the way that we live our lives because of what the power of your word and how it can affect us. Help us to study and help each other throughout this time that we're together, both this morning and in the classes ahead as we go through this study. Grateful again, Father, for all you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, help me out here. Let's kind of talk for a little while. What is it when you go to prayer? What are some things you pray for? What are you hoping will be the result of your prayer? What are some things? All right, so sometimes you have in mind somebody specifically in a situation which you want them to be healed. Some physical condition that they're in, right? Yep, Darnella. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's an interesting. So there is this prayer that the world would be better, but at the same time, a recognition that we're told that there will come a day of judgment. Some will be saved, some will be lost. So your prayer has to do with wanting things to you, perhaps praying for some of those that are lost to be saved. Would that be part of it as well? Okay. But there's kind of this wanting one thing and recognizing that God has also said there's a limit to how that might be answered. Where's it? Good. Yeah, so your relationship with God would become closer and better in your as a result of your prayer. Yes, Christy. For wisdom, right? We ask for that. Adam? Yeah, and maybe for ourselves, maybe for others too, a safety and protection for them. What else? Other things that you believe prayer. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Guidance.
Okay, so you've got this wisdom and a little bit of knowledge of how that might affect what we should do, kind of help direct me in some proper direction. Bill?
Forgiveness.
Right? Desire to be forgiven. Yes, in the back, Nanette. All right, so a lot of the things we've said so far, we've been asking for some things, but here's one in which we are thanking God for what He's already done in the past. Jason? Peace of mind, maybe other types of peace too, but yeah, definitely a peace and calmness of mind, Joel.
Spiritual growth for myself and my family. Substance of sustaining my mom at this point in time, so 95 years.
All right, so again, back to praying for family members and all, but also connected to some of what Marissa said about this relationship with God. You're wanting to grow in that relationship. We're praying about that. Anything else kind of come to mind there? Yeah, Christy, you got another one? How to be of service, so opening up some opportunities maybe for you, Vera. Yeah, that's an interesting one because it's not exactly like just wisdom, right? It's actually sort of being willing to or able to understand why things are the way that they are. Perhaps there's an acceptance behind that as well. Yeah, so that prayer kind of has an effect on that as well, Daniel. Yeah. Okay, some patience, right? All right, so these are great. I'm gonna put a list up here. It covered a great number of the things that you said, but at the same time, you've added more. So my list is not going to be quite as comprehensive as the things that we listed in just a few minutes. There again, the class titles this source of spiritual growth. But what do we hope to accomplish when we pray for? Well, here are some of the things that you mentioned along the way. This idea of a closeness to God, your relationship, looking for forgiveness of sins. We didn't mention quite the sense of cleansing. I think it's important to also believe and feel that you are forgiven. And sometimes that's something you have to ask God for. We don't necessarily get that as quickly. You mentioned a number of these others. Somebody talked about praising God or honoring God. Here's another part of a list. We've talked about health of loved ones, salvation for somebody. All of these, I think, are ones that you kind of helped to talk about. Now, if you look at that list and you think about the things that we said as far as what we would pray for, I think you'd agree that this is a very broad topic, right? This is a big topic. And sometimes it's hard to kind of figure out how we're going to approach talking about a subject like this in 13 lessons, if you will. Prayer goes all the way through the Old and the New Testament. So it may be difficult. How are we going to put our hands around this? There's a couple of ways this morning I hope to kind of explain to you what we're going to do in the class, but maybe some ways of kind of helping us think and organize in our mind the subject of prayer. One of them is to take this list here, and I think there's three ways, or three groups rather, that we could put these things, this list, into. One of them is that there are a number of these in which we are going to God and we're specifically requesting that He do something. Understand what I mean by that? That we recognize the power of God to accomplish something And it may not even be something that we're necessarily going to be involved in, but we're expecting God, wanting God, asking God to accomplish it for us. You see something on that list like that, in which that it may not even involve us, but we want God to do this. Yeah, Jason, see one? A health of a loved one, right? And that may not even be in my control or in my power for some of that to happen, but I'm asking God to make that happen. Do you have one too, Charles? Okay. Well, and again, but I'm going to kind of point it. That's a little bit more back to me personally, and that's okay. And I got a third group here that we'll get to, and the first one and the third one have that connection with each other. But a lot of these really are things that we just kind of recognize the power of God to do this, to protect our loved ones, to heal someone, maybe even to provide for the salvation of someone somewhere else that I'm not connected to. You understand some of those. A recognition of God's power. So that something would happen because of God. And I've listed some of these that God would make to happen, that the word would be spread. That faithful would be strengthened. Now, I might have some involvement in this, but you understand what we're saying is, God, we know your power, and we want these things to happen. And so we're expressing our desire for this accomplishment to occur. But I think there's a second group here that we could kind of look through, and this is that the prayer itself accomplishes something. Sometimes the prayer all by itself is the end. It's not that then I'm asking God to then do something later on. The prayer within itself is what has accomplished something. Do you see anything? I don't have a list anymore up there. Do you remember anything that would be like that? Vera? Okay. Yeah, you would want that to happen right then. Again, I'm going to be a little bit picky, and I think that kind of involves me, and it's going to fit into my third category, but I don't know what my third category is yet, so it'd be easy to see that. But some of these are a little more obvious. The prayer by itself does. I'll just put the list up here, and you'll kind of grasp what I have in mind. Things like honoring God, praising God. The prayer does that, right? If I'm going to express my gratitude and thankfulness for God, I do that in the prayer. And it's not so much that I'm waiting then for something to happen after the prayer. That was the case. And I added there too, you know, just for God to hear me. And I know that He is in the prayer, but it's like this expression within the prayer to know that God is listening to me. The prayer, my speaking to Him helps to accomplish some of that. Yeah, Florine. Yeah, that's a good thing. We'll talk about that some in this class, about the role of God's will being accomplished rather necessarily than just ours. But you understand how these are things that by themselves, within the prayer, are going to occur. Nash? Okay, so what really Nash is saying is that you're not going to be able to make these lists like silos. They're going to have some connection. And even these things are going to change us to some degree. And you'll see the connection then to this third list. So the third idea is that there are things that we pray for with a desire that I be changed, that I become a different person. I have in mind things that I go to God and I recognize where I am today and what I'm not that I ought to be. And I'm hoping that this prayer then will be a part of the process of my being changed. So you look back over this list, you'll see you mentioned a lot of these. You mentioned even more than just this list that would fit within that group. I'd like to have a greater sense of closeness with God. And the prayer may be part of that, but you understand I'm hoping something else will be accomplished. Sometimes we feel that God is remote. He's not there. And I go to God and I'm asking, please remind me in this day that you're nearby. Maybe I know I got a very busy day. It's going to be very different from spiritual thoughts. And I'm asking from the beginning, I want throughout this day to be reminded that you're near. That the forgiveness, knowing I'm forgiven, and then a number of things where I feel something, anxiety, anger. Maybe I'm struggling, you know, to be within, to have some self-control in a situation or I'm frightened of something. And really what I'm praying for is that I be changed, that my spirit be calmed, that I be able to control myself and handle a circumstance in a certain way. You see how all these are prayers related to me and who I am today and how I want to be different. And so I'm hoping that my prayer will help to accomplish that. So it's just one way of kind of thinking through. One reason for focusing on this is that while we'll talk about prayer in a very broad way, we'll talk about all these kinds of prayers, think through the title of this subject or our class is prayer as a means of accomplishing spiritual growth. I think these are the kinds of things we want to see happen within our lives. So let me suggest this to you. Sometimes it would be good, this is a large class, you're welcome to add some additional goals to what you want to accomplish in the class. And if you got something you think would be good to share with everybody else, tell me later. But I'm going to suggest at least four goals to you that I think ought to be on all of our minds and we'll remind ourselves frequently as we go through this class. I like to think about goals, those of you who have been in some classes I've taught before, I like to think about them as something that ought to be different about me 6.5 weeks later. We finished the 13th lesson. What's going to be different about me because I was in this class and went through it? So by the end of our study, I hope every single one of us will be praying more frequently and fervently. And one thing you might do today that would be helpful is to kind of lock down in your mind, think about your prayer life. How often do you pray? What's the fervor and spirit that's on your mind as you go to God in prayer? Kind of get a picture, if you will, of where you stand today so that we can talk about this going forward and see if you are beginning to pray more often with a different fervency in your prayer. Consider that as we go through this class. The second thing is to use Bible or biblical principles and language in our prayers. And don't get too caught up on this goal yet. I think we'll have several opportunities to explain it in a little more detail. It might sound at first as if we're saying we just want to use Bible phrases and terms in our prayers. And you know, if you do that too much, your prayers can become a little stilted, right? Have you ever heard someone who prayed and seemed as if they were just kind of almost using the exact same language of somebody else they had heard pray? It didn't sound like their prayer. I'm not being critical, but you understand what I mean by that. That sometimes when you take the language of someone else or of something and use that in your prayer, and it's not really you, it's not quite the prayer that it ought to be. And yet, I would say it's really important for us to use biblical language and biblical topics and things in our prayer. And I think we can do it without it being a stiff or stilted kind of prayer if these things become more of who we are. But here's the main reason why. We'll talk about this later. Prayer is one part of a conversation. God has already spoken to us. That's what His Word is. In fact, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 2, that these are the very thoughts of God that have been revealed in words to us. So God has spoken to us. Well, what am I going to say back to God? If what I talk to God about has no relationship, no connection to what He talked about to me, you ever had a conversation with somebody like that? Where you have something on your mind and it's important and you're talking about it and they just keep changing the subject and they never talk about anything that you've talked about? I think it is important for us to be speaking to God about the things that He has spoken to us. Here's the third thing. To be more aware of the needs of others for whom we should be praying. And how might we do that? As we go through this class, what might be some ways that would help us individually to accomplish this goal, this greater awareness? What do you think? What might help us? You got an idea? Okay. So how would we do that? How would we come to understand the needs of others around us better? Yeah, Dustin. Okay, so maybe this is one of the things we should pay more attention to during these 6.5 weeks. Let's look at that bulletin. There's usually a section down at the bottom that has some particular things. Yes? Okay, so this is nice. I don't want to put that one yet. But one of the things that would be great about this class, if it actually connected us more together through this awareness of those needs. But if we developed deeper relationships and understood the needs of others, that's great. Katie? Oh, okay, that's a nice one. So someone you know perhaps needs a prayer, but actually go to them and ask them, how can you help them? How would your prayers be effective for them? So then you are praying more what they really want to be prayed for them. That's nice. If this month is your group meeting month, go to that. You will find people that you can pray for, brothers and sisters, maybe others that are coming and visiting. There are just a number of practical ways that we could do it. Once when we went through this class, this is why I know some people have repeated this class, there were those who had helped to put together a very extensive list of some of the needs and reminded us constantly of the need to be praying for them. Just a number of things we could be doing to help accomplish that goal. And finally this, and again I would stress, this fourth goal is connected back to the whole idea of a class where we say prayer is a source of spiritual growth. Well, I'd like to be more like Christ by the time this is over. It would be wonderful if it was clear to me and to others that I had changed because I spent the time going through the study, considering what prayer would do, what God wants of me, and spend the time, and we're going to spend a great deal of time in God's Word, so that would be very useful. Sometimes, though, you think about these goals and all, sometimes I think the point could be made, why do we really need to study about how to pray? Because shouldn't it just kind of be a natural thing? We're made in the image of God. We ought to be able to just naturally express what we feel toward God. And I think for a lot of folks, maybe it does. It just seems to flow. It's very natural. It's very easy. Others of us, maybe, you know, sometimes prayer is a little more difficult. To feel that this is something real and needed and just comfortable with it. I know it's interesting. I can't remember. I just know this comes up in my mind. There are a number of scenes in movies that I've seen at different times where something awful is about to happen and somebody realizes that they need to pray. And what they say to somebody else, but I don't know how. In other words, they've never really done it before. Now they know they need to do it, but they don't know how to do it. And my thought usually is, it's not that hard. Just start saying what's on your mind. But at the same time, there is more to prayer than just expressing something. There are things we can learn, in other words. Here's a passage that would remind us of that fact. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And several things kind of come to mind in looking at just that one verse. One was the fact that the manner in which Jesus was praying was striking to his apostles and his disciples, right? Were there some things you remember the prayers of Jesus that would have really gotten your attention if you'd been living alongside of him? Jason, you got one? Yeah, sometimes, you know, one time he sent them away, prayed all night, you know, before he selected apostles, and there are other occasions too when he did that. Praying through the night. Other things come to mind? Now, that's an interesting one. Yeah, you know, the most righteous man they ever knew, and yet there he is. And later, the recognition more and more that he's God himself. And yet, the relationship of the Father connects. Ronnie? Well, that can be true, but you notice he says, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So, you know, there must have been something about how John went about it that they're hoping he could do the same thing for them. But yeah, I think that the desire, help increase that desire, could be part of that. The other thing that occurs to me is that John was teaching his disciples. John was a great example, too. And there must be something very valuable about that. And then the third thing that happens is that following this, them having asked that Jesus would teach them how to pray, what does he do? You know what happens in verse 2 and 3 following this? He gives them an example. Pray like this. And this is kind of where you find the Lord's Prayer there, which is kind of a parallel account to Matthew 5. or Matthew 6 rather, where he also does the same kind of a thing. But here, it's prompted by their request, their desire, that they would learn how to pray. So when we're going through this class, we are going to spend time on some of the teachings of Jesus, some of the prayers of Jesus. But what would be a little bit different about this class, maybe than others that you've been in when you've talked about prayer, is that much of what we're going to do is to go to the prayers of Paul. And your first thought might be, well, where do we have a recording of a prayer of Paul? You know, you can think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can think about things that he prayed there. You kind of pull up that prayer. You can this prayer here in Luke chapter 11 and following and so forth. So here are some very specific prayers. It's not always as obvious that there are a lot of prayers of Paul. But think about the way that a number of his letters begin. What does he often say at the very beginning of his letter to those to whom he is writing? He is praising God on their behalf. I thank my God always on your behalf for, and then he lists a whole bunch of things. You know what he's really done? He's just given you the text of a prayer. This is what I do. I pray to God for you, and here is the content of my prayer. These are the things I am praying for you. And if you've got a lesson sheet, by the way, I realized later, we made 100 copies on Wednesday, it's probably not enough, so you might have tried to find some lesson sheets. It's supposed to have lesson 2 on that as well. If you were lucky, found it, got a copy, you're ready for Wednesday night. If not, I'll try to get some more out this morning or tonight if you're back this evening. And all the lessons, all 13, are already posted out on the website, so you can get those there as well if you need a lesson sheet. But in your lesson sheet for this morning were a list of a lot of those prayers that Paul prayed that we're going to go to. But here's one way that we can illustrate this morning in our class. So we're going to spend some time in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There are a lot of prayers in just these two books. How many chapters altogether are in these two letters of Paul to the Thessalonians? 8 chapters, okay? Here's how many prayers, at least, one way of counting them. First of all, the 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see 4, then we're going to go over to 2 Thessalonians, and there's another 7 that are there. What I'd like to do is have us go and open up. So turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read a number of these prayers. And I'm not going to put the text up on the screen, so you're going to have your Bibles out, some kind of copy of it, and read along with this. And I'm going to ask a couple of folks, John, Scott, you mind reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 through 5 in just a moment? Dustin, how about chapter 3, this 9 through 13? And Jason Reynolds, maybe somebody back on this other side, can you do chapter 5, verse 23 in a moment? So when I call on you to read, just if you don't mind reading that, but let's take a look at a couple of these prayers to begin with. And if I forget who I asked to read, if you don't mind reminding me and re-volunteering. But I do remember John. If you'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Okay, so what do you see in this these words he says to him? What are some things he was praying about? What was some part of the content of Paul's prayer? All right, he started with giving thanks. We're going to see that almost consistently in nearly every one of these kinds of prayers. There's something said about that. Not always, but a great deal of thanks. What is he grateful for, though, here? Something about them. He's thankful for some things about them. And he doesn't just say, thanks for putting these people in my life, but he actually lists some things about them that are praiseworthy. What does he say about these brethren? At least three things, I think, here. Yep. And the steadfastness of hope. By the way, do you notice that faith, love, and hope? Like 1 Corinthians 13. He's got these things in mind. They're the embodiment of those things. And he's grateful for that and mentions that to God. And he mentions specifically, verse 3, remembering before our God your work. He names them. That's an interesting thing. As we say, trying to learn how to pray with biblical things in mind. One of those is to recognize our brothers and sisters who are doing things for the Lord and calling them out to God and with gratitude and thankfulness for what they are doing. So that's that prayer. We'll skip over the prayer there in chapter 2 and verse 13. But he's simply, it's another thing he's grateful for. He's grateful for the way in which they had received the gospel. But Dustin, if you will do chapter 3 and read for us verses 9 through 13, please. We're actually going to spend much of one class on this prayer itself. This will be one of those that we'll pull out. I'm going to show you a structure of the class if we don't run out of time a little later on. And we'll see a number of the classes. We're just going to pick up one of Paul's prayer and spend much of our time there. This is one of those. What do you see in this prayer? What kind of struck your attention as it was being read? The content of this prayer. Okay, so the consistency with which he's praying, right? Yeah, we say, we'll often see Paul saying the thanks he's giving for someone, but it seems like it always comes with the word always, right? I'm always giving thanks, and here night and day. Good point. Yeah, Marissa. It's one of the more interesting things about this letter, actually, is he says, you're in a good place, but you could abound more and more. You could increase in those things. And so it might even say to us that part of our prayers is a request, not just for God to deal with our weaknesses, but to recognize that we have some strengths as well and want those things to increase, or that others do, and allow them to take this gift that they have and for it to abound. That's a good thought. Other things that occur to you out of this prayer? Yeah, Ronnie, and then up here to me. Yes. So he's thankful for that relationship and what it allows for him personally. Yeah, I like that. Note that word joy. He is feeling something because of their faithfulness. It provokes joy within him, and now he's sharing that joy with God. And saying, I like that. Mimi. Yeah, this overflow. All these are really good. The other thing I'll point out to you is at the end of that, having said all these positive things, and as Marissa said, wanting them to actually abound and all. But look at verse 13. He then prays for them. He said, this is my prayer, that he, God, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. That fits, I hope, very well with what we want to accomplish in this class. That could be our prayer. That this class would accomplish that every one of us would have our hearts established blameless in holiness before God. That would be an expression of that spiritual growth we would like to have. And finally, out of this first letter, Jason, if you could read chapter 5, verse 23. Wow. So, are those your words typically? So here's some of that language, you know. But to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be kind of set apart, that expression is in his prayer and something we could think about as well. Let's go on to this next one. I find it interesting that the shorter letter, there's only three chapters in 2 Thessalonians, but it actually has seven different places that we could call out and say, this appears to be a prayer of Paul that's going on in this chapter. I'd like us to read at least four of these. Greg Sales, could you read chapter 1, 11 through 12? And I think I'm going to read the one in check, the second chapter, 16 to 17, because I want us to do something a little different with that one. But Nash, if you could do chapter 3, 1 and 2. And Grant, if you could do chapter 3, verse 16. Okay? And I know this time I'm going to forget who all I've asked to do this. So let's start, Greg. Right? Let's look at chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 there in 1 Thessalonians. Let's read this prayer, this thought. 2 Thessalonians, sorry. What's on his mind in this prayer? What caught your attention here? Yeah, so that same kind of idea, this goal of that sanctification comes across. There's some other commonalities with before. I predicted you'd see the word always a lot. I didn't say you'd always see it, but it's pretty close. And here, sure enough, he's always praying. What else did you notice here? It's a little bit different. Yeah, Michael. Yeah, I find that really interesting, right? He wants, he's praying that God would be glorified. How might God be glorified? By the things that they do. And here's a whole nother topic worthy of attention and thought is the way the Bible talks about glory. We're going to be glorified. God's going to be glorified. And our being glorified helps in turn to glorify God. But he wants these things to happen, but he recognizes that it's only going to really happen by the change in their life. What's occurring in these people in Thessalonica who have learned about Christ is that their lives are changing, and it results to the glory of God. All right, well, let's go on to chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. I want you to, let me read this first, and come back. I want to do something with it to kind of help us understand how this can be helpful to us in the class. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." I think this is short, but I think it's not that difficult to turn around and make this into a prayer, right? Where you simply say to God, our Father, we're grateful that you have loved us and that you have given us eternal comfort and hope through grace. We're asking you to continue to comfort us and to help us to be able to be established and capable of every good work and word. Watch over the things that I say and the things that I do and help me to be able to do those things that are pleasing to you. That's short, right? But that's the language. When we say we want to try to use some of the language that's there, try to take some of these prayers and see if you could then turn them into your own expression. Don't make it be Paul praying for them, but you actually praying a similar prayer, if you will. All right? And then let's read together chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And I think this time I have forgotten who I called on to do that. Who did I ask? Nash, thank you, sir. All right, there's something new here. I think there's a topic here that hasn't yet necessarily come up in the prayer so far. What did you see? Yeah, we're praying now about the word of the Lord. What would happen? I'm sorry, Miss Katie? All right, then it would spread rapidly. Now, it's going to depend on your translation, the exact word you have here, but I'm sure in everybody's translation there is something that speaks to speed. Rapidly, English Standard Version, the word of the Lord may speed ahead. You get that thought? So what we're praying for is that the message of God would go out into the world quicker. It would happen faster. More people would come to know about it. And as we've talked about how these prayers might end up changing us, do you think that I might feel a certain sense of responsibility if I say to the Lord, please let your word go out into the world faster? What might occur in my mind as I'm praying that? Jason? So he's putting responsibility back on himself. So if I pray something like this, I'm going to feel a sense of responsibility. Where's my part in that? But we are very blessed here as a congregation. We support men who are preaching in far parts of the world. And we ought to be praying for them, that the word would speed ahead for them and wherever they are, even though that might be something we don't necessarily have a connection to. And finally, Grant, if you'll read chapter 3 and verse 16. I think that's a prayer that reminds me of a number of things that you said at the beginning of this class when we were talking about what do we pray for? Peace was mentioned. Relief from certain circumstances and all. And sure enough, here's Paul praying for this. All right, a couple of minutes left. I'm hoping you can... it looks somewhat visible up there. Every time I've taught this class before, I always had a co-teacher. And so I'm not really trying to stress the fact that I'm teaching every class. I don't know that I will. There may be some others who do. But that column was already stuck there, and I didn't really want to have to work with getting rid of the column. So that's the only reason it's there. Apologize for that. But you'll see these dates, if you look down just kind of ahead, lessons 9 and 10 are both on Sundays, because in between there's we have a gospel meeting that's going to take place. Otherwise, we're going to kind of straight ahead go through this class. What you'll see is that sometimes we'll talk kind of more broadly, like earthly motives. There's some bad ways of praying. Some of the things that Jesus does is he corrects prayers. He says, this is not the way that you should pray, or he puts up an example of somebody who's doing and praying in a way that we would not want to do that. The balanced prayers in lesson 3 is kind of looking at, there are all kinds of different prayers. We talked about that this morning. We had one way of grouping what we pray for in different ways. Well, the scriptures actually talk about different types of prayers, and we'll mention those because we want to be men and women who pray lots of different kinds of prayers. But then after that, we're going to begin to look at some of these passages. The framework of prayer, we'll go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Praying for others will actually cover a lot of different prayers, because as you notice there, everywhere we went, Paul was like praying for somebody else. So that one, it'd be difficult to just pull out one and use it. But a passion for people will be the prayer we read this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to go to Colossians 1, which is a challenging, interesting, maybe a prayer we don't always pray in Colossians 1, 9 through 12. That's our seventh lesson. Some excuses for not praying. So then we'll kind of take a step back and look more broadly than just at one of these prayers of Paul. And we'll examine, what are the obstacles? What are the hindrances? Why aren't we praying as much as we should? The praying for excellence is a prayer from Philippians chapter 1. And that one, we took a section of that a couple of years ago, and it's one of our theme verses here. And so I hope when we go to that prayer, it'll be a reminder of some things that we talked about and prayed about throughout much of a year as an entire congregation. Praying for opportunities is Romans chapter 15. And then the last two, where we will go to different prayers, lessons 11 and 12, we'll go to the book of Ephesians. the praying for the sovereignty of God are some things that Paul has to say in the first chapter of Ephesians. And then praying for power, you can think about that prayer that shows up at the end of chapter 3, where he recognizes the great power that God has to accomplish things even beyond what we could imagine. And we'll look at that prayer. And I hope you'll spend some time kind of looking ahead, maybe go find more of the lessons even beyond this. Look at those prayers. That first lesson, if you didn't get it, it listed a good number of the ones that we'll go through. That might be a nice reading assignment, just to spend time in the Word going back through frequently these prayers so that they become a little more familiar to you, so that when we get there and study them as a class, it'll be a lot easier for us to be able to engage in some good discussion about them. All right, I know the bell's not too far from ringing. I'm going to stop there but with a word of thanks to you for your participation this morning. It was very helpful throughout the class. Thank you.